We're going to be concluding our series on the church in action. And Acts 28 is the end, but it's not. This is not the end. My fear as I was preparing this was that everybody, especially those of you who are very linear, okay, we finished this Church of Action. What's the next sermon series? Let's move on. And I want to stop us there. Because really, at the end of Acts 28, verse 31, there should be an ellipsis. You know, those three little dots at the end of a phrase or a sentence that says there's more to come or we haven't finished yet. If I was the editor and I was helping Dr. Luke with his book here, I'd say, you know, Luke, we probably ought to put an ellipsis at the end, or you need to come up with a better finish. Because I feel like we're kind of left hanging here. So I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to read verses 30 through 31. But hold that place, because we're going to go back and start back in verse 23. But we're going to stand in honor of God's word. Speaking of Paul, he lived there for two whole years at his own expense. He was under house arrest, and he had to pay for it, and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Dot, dot, dot. There's got to be something else. The word of our Lord. Jim Woodcow, would you pray for me that we would hear the word? Amen. Thank you, Jim. So let's jump into chapter 28, but I want to jump in at verse 23. Paul has finally arrived in Rome. That was his prayer. He wanted to end up in Rome. It was his hope that he'd have a chance to be in Rome. But he didn't arrive exactly like he thought he would. He arrived as a prisoner after a shipwreck. But he finally gets to Rome. He finds himself there under house arrest. And on house arrest, people came to him and they would visit with him. And he was going to continue to teach them. And in chapter 28, verse 23, where there's a number of prominent Jewish leaders in the city of Rome who'd come to visit the Apostle Paul in prison and under house arrest. Starting in verse 23. When they had appointed a day for him, they came to him at his lodging in great numbers. From morning till evening, he expounded to them, testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. Don't you love this? He's in jail and he still pushes forward. I'm sure there are times when people say, hey, Paul, just give up. I mean, you've been under shipwreck. You've been beat up. You've been run out of towns. I mean, we could go on and on, Paul. I mean, you've done enough. Give it up. And disagreeing among themselves, they departed after Paul had made one statement. The Holy Spirit was right in saying to your fathers through Isaiah the prophet. What he's getting ready to say is not going to earn him a lot of friends here. Paul's not running a PR campaign. He's,
he's speaking the truth here to these men. This is the truth that was spoken through the Isaiah the prophet. Go to this people and say, you will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's hearts have grown dull. And with their ears, they can barely hear, and their eyes, they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. He lived there 2 years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. The end. The curtains are drawn. The credits roll. Are you kidding me? 30 years, 3 decades, 28 chapters, 14 sermons. And this is how we get to the end of it? Dot, dot, dot. Our temptation, whenever we go through a sermon series, is to say, okay, give me the facts, give me the answers, give me all the information I need. And what we've been through in 14 sermons is not just information, it's an invitation. It's an invitation because, folks, this isn't the end of the story. This is not the end of the story. It's to be continued. It's not the end. It's just the beginning. One of the things I hate is to watch a show for 5 weeks and then at the end of it to say, to be continued next year. Sherry and I have been watching Grantchester on PBS, and we've been so tied into that. And we get to this last one last week, and Sherry looks at me and says, I can't believe it. We've got to wait until next summer to see the end of this. Well, Sherry, it happened to us with Downton Abbey. I hate to be continued. I've even read through books, spent hours reading through books, and you get to the end, you kind of go, wait a minute. And you know they're going to have a sequel, and they've set you up to go out and buy the next book. But I don't think Luke's wanting you to go out and buy a new book. It doesn't end with information or answers. It ends with an open-ended invitation to you and me. As with any great story, the end is really just the beginning. The story that Jesus is writing through his church doesn't stop in Rome with Paul. We get to play a part. In fact, we've been called to play a part. Have you ever asked yourself, what do you think God could do through us for his name and his glory? Dot, dot, dot. I think we are part of a never-ending story. You know, Bill Herring is past and gone. Judy said, you know, when they finally could not resuscitate him, and she said, I'm not just saying this. She said, I looked at him, and there was a peace on him I can't even describe on his countenance. And they said he was dead. And I said, he's not dead. He's dancing. It's a never-ending story, folks. We're part of it. It's to be continued. And even though Luke scrolls to be continued across the end of this book, what he's doing is he's saying, you are a part. You're part of a trajectory that's going to be going on and on and on. He starts it early. He starts it in Acts 1 through 8. Kind of works his way through Luke. Acts 1 through Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And then chapter 6, verse 7. And the word continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith, Jewish priests. Chapter 9, verse 31. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. There's a word there, it's not addition. It multiplied. Acts chapter 12, verse 24. But the word of God increased and multiplied. Acts 16, verse 5. So the churches were strengthened in faith, and they increased in the numbers daily. Acts 19, verse 20, so the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. There's this trajectory that Luke is building on and saying, look what's happening. And then in Acts 28, 30 and 31, he lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Dot, 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 the trajectory continues on. And you are a part of that trajectory. We've been called to be a part of that trajectory. Just a quick review of what we've been through. It's amazing. In these 28 chapters, it spans more than 30 years. We have a church that's birthed in Jerusalem on the continent of Asia. We have the gospel that continues to go forth as Paul takes it to the ends of the earth. He sets up shop around the Mediterranean and in Europe. We see in Acts 8 that this Ethiopian eunuch is converted to Christ and comes to know the Lord, and then he goes back to his home, Africa. And so the gospel has spread from Asia to Europe and to Africa. We have 14 churches we know were planted by Paul. But we know that there are many more churches that were planted. We have the Apostle Paul who traveled 10,000 miles across sea and land to share the good news. We see in Acts 2 and Acts 4 the blueprint for the church. That the fact that this church is this beautiful, subversive, generous, gracious community where people are invited in. And where do they say to Caesar, whose tagline was, Caesar is Lord, there's none other than Jesus Christ. Thank you very much, Caesar, but we don't need you. We have each other. They pointed people to the scriptures. There was teaching. There was learning. There was this beautiful ethos that started to develop among the community of believers. They would develop leadership. We see this work that Jesus continues to do through the Spirit and the formation of his church. It didn't stop in the first century, but it moves right on into the 21st century. Not just the facts, not just the answers, not just information we've covered. It's an invitation. It's an invitation to a story to step into, to take your story and move into this huge story of the gospel. There's power in the invitation here. There's power in what he's asking us to do, to worship him, to see each other and move with each other, and to move out on a daily basis. He's calling us out of the silos. He's calling us out of the bunkers. He's calling us out of our hiding places to be his church, to be his people. The same thing he called back in Acts as we went through those verses, He's calling each and every one of us. If we leave the Church of Action, if we leave this particular portion of Scripture thinking, oh, that was nice, I had plenty of information, we've missed it. What he's given us is an invitation to carry on this beautiful, beautiful thing that Jesus Christ started. And he's not calling us to do it alone. Imagine what those disciples felt like after Jesus was on the cross. You thinking about, you want to hunker down, you want to bunker down, you want to go to a silo. I'm sure those disciples were thinking, I'm out of here. This is really scary. They're going to take us out just like they took him out. But Jesus appears to them and says, listen, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Amen. Go. He didn't say hide. He didn't say bunker down. He didn't say, oh, you're in trouble. He says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, listen to this, folks. Behold, he's saying this to us this morning. I am with you always to the end of the age. As I was just pondering that yesterday, and at the same time I was going back and forth to the news, I was going, oh Lord, we need you to the end of the age now. We get a little indication of what the first century was like for those disciples, and it was horrible as well. But we got firsthand experience yesterday in our little community that hell has broken loose in a lot of ways. We can't afford to hunker down. We can't afford to be in silos. He's calling the church out as into this trajectory of moving out. He's given us an invitation. Let's not miss it. And if they didn't get it the first time, he appears to them again and says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. For all the ages, to the end of the earth, I'm going to be with you. That's a promise. It's a promise from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I think the book of Acts, I need for you to stop right here. Some of you, I do this in sermons as well. I get lost sometimes. But I need for you to focus right here. Paul's in jail, but he's preaching, and this gospel goes forth without hindrance. Nothing can stop it. Jesus is still writing the story. Even with all the stuff yesterday, Jesus is still writing the story. The end of the book of Acts does not mean he is done. In fact, the way the book ends invites us to believe that we are a part of what he's going to continue to do. Scriptures don't just tell a story of Jesus. They invite us into the life of Jesus and to carry that in to the life that we've been given. N.T. Wright kind of expresses this so well at the end. He says, the authority of the Bible is the authority of a love story in which we are invited to take part of. This book ends with a question, not with an ellipsis. Will you give your life to this story? I got to stop here. I mean, will you give your life to this story? Will you jump in and not just put your toes in the water, but will you jump in with both feet? Because you know, and somewhere in your mind, that God is still at work. God is still moving. God is still continuing to do through his church, through his Spirit, what the book of Acts records for us happened in the first 30 years. You know, your story, your life will be given to something. Money, power. And we could just go down the list. But I think the question to us is your life going to be given to Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior? You know, we saw a passion yesterday of people who've given their lives, their identity to nationalism and racism and white superiority. It was scary. But the question I had to ask myself is, where do I give my life? How do I give of my life? Can I answer it and say, Jesus Christ, and is it so obvious? I think God's looking for people who hear his voice and declare a better tomorrow. Who step into the void between what is and what could be and say, God is still at work. Jesus is still writing the story. Several weeks ago, Mark Frazier, policeman, got up here, gave this great sermon on being a peacemaker. So I texted him early this morning. I said, are you guys okay? Asking about he and Josh. He said, yeah, but there was a helicopter that went down. Actually, it was yesterday afternoon. And then he texted me again. He said, you know what my first assignment was 3 days ago? To be on the state police helicopter. Will you give your life to this story? To Jesus Christ? Mark said, I have no words other than what he's called me to. Mark, he's still writing the story. And he's using you in your life. The story's still being written. When kids go off to Sunday school and there are adults who go with them, and those kids are loved and pointed to Jesus, we declare the story is still being written. When you reach out with your time and with your energy and your resources and you come along people who are hurting and say there's a better tomorrow on the horizon, the story is still being written. When you give your life to somebody who's maybe a little bit younger or maybe not quite as far along and enter into a mentoring relationship or a D group relationship, you're declaring the story is still being written. Moms, when you sacrifice daily, when you get up in the middle of the night and they're puking and you're wiping up puke, you're declaring the story is still being written. When people gather together and start writing songs about the glory of Jesus Christ, you're declaring the story is still being written. When you look at the artwork back here, the creation of the people in this church, the story is still being written. People who are reaching out and inviting neighbors over, inviting people they work with over, inviting classmates over to have dinner with them, the story is still being written. When you take a stand against racism and nationalism and all the crap that's going on, the story is still being written. There is no the end. The story of Acts doesn't end with a nice clean bow on the top of it saying, happy birthday, Bill, it's finished. We do not read the scriptures in a way that says, happily ever after. We read the scriptures in a way where God says, welcome to the church in action. And so the book of Acts ends with Paul in jail proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about Jesus with all boldness and without hindrance. ... And we are as well. I believe God is kind of saying, I want to raise up an army of dry bones. Christ community. We need to move. We need to be a church in action. And I will restore, I'll bring these dry bones together. What's your part of the story that God may want to write through you? What's your part of the story that God might want to write through you? Not through me. Not through the pastors here. But you, where you're at. Where you work. Where you shop. Maybe to our church. What might God do through us for his name and his glory? How do we fit into this trajectory, this movement? I want us to end singing, and then we're going to go to communion. Up from the ashes, he's brought us. Out of the darkness and into the light, lifting our sorrows. Our God, he is with us. We have been invited into a magnificent story. And we are called to embark on a magnificent journey. But you know, he's not going to force our hand. Here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, use me. Here we are, Lord, show us. That's a church in action. It ain't the end. It's the beginning of a story. Here, Christ Community. How's he going to use us in the years to come? I don't know. But boy, I want to be in the movement of his spirit. I want to be going where he wants us to go. I want to be arm in arm. I want to do it together. Lord, take us, send us, use us, help us, grow us, deepen us, move us. Help us to be a church in action.